This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
John chapter 15, we're going to begin in verse number 9, read just a few verses, and then have a word of prayer. And after we pray, you can be seated. Verse number 9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Greater love, everyone say greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. God, we come before you, a needy people. Lord, our society is so broken. Lord, even the scare this week here at the schools in Palmdale, Lord, and throughout all of the country, Lord, everyone's on edge, Lord. There's such a lack of love, and God, yet we come into this place, and we ask that you would invade this space with your love, that you would pour out the love that only you can give. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to each of our hearts personally, uniquely. And Lord, would you help us to leave not just challenged, but changed. Thank you for the mothers here, Lord. Please give them an extra special blessing, Lord. I pray that you'll just reward them for all of their hard work and their love that they've shown throughout the years. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus, thank you. Jesus gives this challenge to not just his disciples, but whoever was standing around. And he gave a challenge to these people who would invariably, they were going to face some trials. They were going to face the result of a world that has violated the love that Jesus gives. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that I sat down with many families this week, and they were scared, and they were wondering, why is this world so broken? And I had to just tell them that Jesus didn't create it this way, that man chose to define love, to define life through its skewed perspective and terms. And so we certainly know that God intended a perfect world, a world where this kind of love reigns supreme, but it doesn't. How many of you know this type of perfect, divine, true love doesn't come naturally to anyone? But he said, I'm going to try to give you the antidote to this loveless, broken world. And so he's walking down the steps that he would then be led back up to Caiaphas's place, where he would meet with Caiaphas, and they would then proceed with a false arrest and trial of Jesus. And these are the steps. I've walked right near these steps, and these are the actual steps they believe that Jesus walked up to go to Caiaphas' house. But first he walked down while he was saying from the upper room down to the Kidron Valley. He was most likely standing in this valley, the Kidron Valley, right outside the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was standing there telling them that he is the true vine, that he's the one, that if you connect to him, he'll have this love for you, this joy for you that you don't have on your own. And then, of course, we read last week how he just opened up to the Father in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he gives this prayer about joy and love that he wants the disciples to have. But many of us, when we talk about the love of God, when we read a chapter like this and we try to understand this type of love, we understand that it's impossible to love like Jesus. And so there's this disconnect, like, what in the world? How can I go from a broken heart, a broken life, a life that doesn't have love, to a life that's full of this love? How do I go from point A to point B? And so we have an example given to us about how Jesus loved and showed this love. He loved through the disciples, but then he loved through his family. And at the end today, in just a few minutes, I'm going to read the final conversation between Jesus and his mother. And I'm gonna teach you how Jesus loved and how we can love like him. But many of us, we can't wrap our mind around God's love, and God knew that, and so he placed someone in our lives to mirror the love of Jesus. And you know who that is? That's a mother's love. The mother's love is what mirrors the love of Jesus to show us that it is actually possible, that things can and people and situations can find the love of Jesus even when we don't think love is possible. And so God introduces us to Jesus' love by showcasing the love of a mother. And the first dialogue and the first narrative that we see in the Bible is Mary, and truly showing that Mary had this love. She didn't know why this child was inside of her. She didn't know how it'd work out, but she loved Jesus, and then she loved him to the end. And so she was the first to touch Jesus, and our mothers were the first to touch us. She was the first to feed Jesus, and our mothers were the first to feed us. She was the first to talk to Jesus, and our mothers were the first to talk to us. Mothers show the love of Jesus. Even a mother who doesn't necessarily know Jesus or maybe even doesn't believe in Jesus still shows the love that only Jesus can give. And so the tendency of true love, or the tenacity, I'm sorry, of true love is born out of the capacity of true love, meaning that tenacious, unending, completely unfathomable love does not come from our own capacity, but it comes from a greater capacity. And so we're going to see that today, that love that only Jesus gives is a love that's unfathomable. In fact, Paul talked about this. He said that I may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Which passeth knowledge. You can't wrap your mind around it, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, when we understand a mother's love, we're halfway to understanding an inkling of God's love for us. So this love never gives up. It never runs out. The capacity is endless. And sometimes I meet mothers and they feel like their capacity is so limited. And moms, I'm sure you've come to a point where you're like, I've given everything I have to give, and I'm so exhausted and I'm so tired and no one understands. And I've come to the end of myself. And let me just tell you that when you come to the end or the depletion of your capacity, that is when you can truly understand God's ability. And God's ability can carry you far beyond where you can carry yourself. And so divine love is personal, it's relational, it's unconditional, it's always sacrificial. So let's break this down and understand this type of love, because a mother's love goes far beyond the norm. It goes far beyond what's just generally expected. A mother's love goes far beyond, and God's love goes far beyond that. Now, some moms in here who are wondering how in the world they could increase their capacity, I just want to give you a little bit of an encouragement, okay? It could be worse. There's a mother, her name is Lyatt, and she is in Florida. This is her family of 16 kids, and they all have sports and everything. David and Lyatt, Reback, I believe their names are. True story, they're all in sports right now, in lessons and things, and on one given week, she will take her kids to 88 different sports practices and lessons and events. 88. So, I mean, you're stressed out with 8, okay? But this woman does 88, right? And so my point is, we can always point to someone else who has maybe a larger capacity, who have done things that amaze us. And the reality is, the only thing that can bring us beyond our capacity is God's ability. So let's look at this. Let's talk about the love of Jesus, the love that only He can give. Number one, I want you to see the tenacity of divine love. This love that goes beyond, above and beyond. And there's a couple questions I just want to ask you to truly understand this tenacity, this love that never ends, it never gives up. The first question is, have you made God's love for you personal? You will never understand the capacity for love until it's made personal. You will never understand the tenacity for love until it's made personal, until you've personalized the love that His love is for you. You see, at a very young age, we get attached to our mothers because it is the love that is personally assigned to us. The reason a mother's love is so precious is because it is personalized. And so Jesus always made His love personal. In fact, when Peter had denied the Lord and had really ruined the trust between Jesus and Peter, Jesus shows up and He asks him three times. He asks this question in John 21. He says, "Peter, have you made my love personal? Do you love me?" And He keeps asking this question over and over again. "Lovest thou me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter answered back three times, which is consequently the number of times that he denied Him. He answered back, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And I believe the final time, Peter was just in tears, realizing that Jesus' love was far beyond any knowledge that he could possibly put together. It was a tenacious love that came after him even when he had ruined Jesus' trust. And so, is it personal? And the divine love is always personal, but it's personally in the present. Meaning, Jesus never loves you just in the past. He doesn't just love you in the future for what you might do for Him or what might happen in the future or future forgiveness. Jesus and divine love is always in the present. Meaning, He sees the mistakes you're going to make, but He still loves you in the present. He's seen the problems that you've had in the past and the things that you've done in the past. And He doesn't hold that against you. He always loves you in the present. Have you made Jesus' love for you personal, to say that it is my love regardless of what's happened in the past and regardless of what might happen in the future? Letter B, how can we keep love relational? Now, one of the things that just jumped out at me when I was studying this is the fact that Jesus was trying to call them out of a law-driven, mechanical love that was predominating their society. It was love that said, if I do more, I will be loved more. If I am good, then I will receive good acceptance. And Jesus was trying to say, hey, listen, your acceptance is not based on what you do. Your acceptance is not based on how good you are. I will accept you and give you my love if you'll just receive it. It has to be relational. And so tenacity gives us this relational love. It pulls away from anything that would be mechanical or forced, and it pulls toward what is relational. And anything relational must be enjoyable and dependable. So every relationship in here, that will change the relationship you have with anyone and the love that you show to anyone if you'll just keep those two things in mind. Number one, am I being dependable in this relationship? And is it enjoyable? Is there something that's robbing the joy, that's sucking the joy out of it? And we talked about that last week, but how can we keep it relational? And the reality is, we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. But tenacious love truly is faithful. It's dependable. And many of us, we look to a mother's love as a model of a mother being the model for being faithful and dependable. I mean, what does a father say? Go see your mother, okay? When a child gets hurt, I mean, who are they running to? Most of the time, the mother, okay? So the mother's dependable, the mother's faithful, the mother's reliable, and that's the type of love Jesus has for us. And so I read about a teacher who was teaching science in the seventh grade, and he was teaching them about magnetic energy, and for an entire quarter of the semester, he taught them about magnets. And he said, I want to make sure they get this concept. And they had all these different things, you know, picking up different objects and metal and you know, magnetic sand, all this cool stuff. And he was so proud of himself, and so he gave a pop quiz. There was only one question on the quiz, and it said, what begins with an M and picks up things? And over half the class said, a mother. I mean, listen, it's programmed into us that mothers are the ones that know where everything is. They have everything down pat. They know how to find things. In fact, when you lose something, what do? You go say, Mom, where's my... And then you ask them. If mom doesn't know where it's at, it's a lost cause. In fact, I heard someone talking about this recently, and I think we might have a video of him discussing how mothers know where to find things.
Moms are a big help when you lose something, aren't they? Your mom is just not a help at all. Hey, Mom, I can't find my wallet. Well, it's got to be somewhere. It's like, that's good. I thought I was going crazy for a minute. I thought I was looking for something that didn't exist. Thank you. And then they go, where'd you leave it last? You're good.
So, moms inherently know where things are at. They're faithful. And even when they don't, they make up reasons to know. They try to guide us in the right direction. They're always faithful. A tenacious love is faithful and dependable. But number two, a tenacious love is fun. It is enjoyable. And in this passage of Scripture, we see the Lord giving us this the thought of love, the two verses about love, verse 9 and verse 11, and then the thought about joy. And basically he's saying that through love you find joy, and through joy you find love. It is an enjoyable love that fuels you. And that's why Paul said in Philippians 2, he said, fulfill ye my joy that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. And so a tenacity of love just coming after you, never giving up, never being discouraged, never trying to think the best or think the worst, but always thinking the best. And so a mother's love is much like Jesus' love in the fact that it's tenacious, the tenacious love of a mother. And the tenacity of love is seen in Jesus Christ as well. But number two is tenacious love requires a capacity for that love. Because many of you mothers are in here saying, yeah, I chase them all around the house. I'm as tenacious as I possibly can be. But there's a limit. How many of you know you hit your limit? You know, moms, you ever get there, you're just like, okay, I need a break right now. And if I don't get a break right now, someone's going to get something they deserve, right? I mean, there comes a point where you're just like, you know, twitching, you know, like, I need a break. I need a break. I'm going to last about 5 minutes. Listen, we all come to the end of ourselves. And what I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus was trying to say there's greater love that you can have access to. There's greater love out there that if you will attach to Jesus, that he will give you that type of love. And so the capacity of divine love is seen by answering two questions. And the question number one before we end today is, what is the catch that Jesus just kind of throws in here? He kind of hides it in here, but what's the catch to unconditional love? See, we said that that true divine love is relational, it's personal, but then we said it was unconditional, and a mother's love truly is unconditional. I mean, there's no love on earth with men and women, among men and women, like the unconditional love of a mother. But the unconditional love of Jesus is seen here with a little bit of a catch. And I saw that he gave us this, and I loved it because it was such an encouragement to me to know that he put this in there. You see, he talks about greater love, but before he does, the verse right before, he talks about how the capacity for divine love is not transactional. It's not a transaction that you have to pay something and then receive something. It is unconditional, meaning it is given without being earned. God's love is always given without being earned. And in verse number 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." And here's the catch. "As I have loved you." And I just realized, I read that and I thought, wait a second. That's impossible. He has just told us to do something impossible. Have your mothers ever said something and you're like, not going to happen. Not happening. You know, you can say that 1,000 times, but I'm never going to be able to do that. I mean, sometimes people have high expectations, but this is on a whole nother level. Jesus is saying, I want you to love like I've loved. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. You died for the whole world. You never said one cross word to anyone. You never got angry and hit someone. You never hurt someone with your words. You've never done anything that all of us in this room have done, including myself. Jesus was the one who loved perfectly. He showed perfect love. So then we bring ourselves to this commandment. We're saying, why would Jesus give a commandment that we can't fulfill? And the answer is, that's what the entire Old Testament is all about. He gave 636 commandments that everyone on earth was asked to fill, and they failed. They failed. We all have failed. And Jesus brings us to the end of ourselves to say, I'm giving you this commandment, because what's the next thing he says as he says, I want you to love as I've loved unconditionally? What is the very next thing he says when he gives us this commandment? He says, greater love. Greater love. You see, this capacity is unconditional. The greater love calls us to a greater resource, a greater source for strength, a greater source for love, a greater source for compassion, a greater source for forgiveness, a greater source for mercy. So the greatest motivation is not trying to seek the approval of love. It is living knowing you already have the approval of love. You see, when we understand that we are loved unconditionally and there's nothing we can add to the transaction to make it even any more unconditional, how many of you know there's nothing that you can do to get God to like you anymore? And there's nothing that you can do, contrary to a lot of religion, that can get God to like you any less. You see, God sees right to the core, and if you are in Jesus Christ and have received this unconditional love from Jesus that he was offering, this greater love, then Jesus, God looks down and he sees what we're talking about this whole miniseries. He sees good on you. Where we might have hatred and deceit in our heart, he places kindness and gentleness in our heart. Where we might have a total despite and total disgust for a situation, Jesus can place a compassion and a patience. You see, it's good on you. It's good placed on you. It's the greater love placed in you that makes you love without fear, without guilt, without shame. And that's why John said there is no fear in love, but perfect love. This greater love, what does it do in 1 John 4:18? Perfect love, it casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, God did not create fear just to protect you. He did give that response to protect you, but he did that to call you to a greater kind of love. And every time you feel you hear something that makes you fearful or hear something that makes you anxious or something that creates this anxiety inside of you or places a burden on you, you need to come to the unconditional love of Jesus and realize, listen, there's a greater love that casts out all that fear. There's a greater love that casts out all that resentment. There's a greater love that casts out all that unforgiveness and bitterness and hardship. It casts all that out because it's greater love. And it's not anything that any of us can earn. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so how should we let her be? And finally, how should we respond? How should we respond to sacrificial love? And this question is so important. Because if we come to a mother's love, and we come to Jesus' love, and we don't respond to it, it's the greatest waste our life will ever produce. Let me just be real with you. The moments of regret that I have are moments where I wasted moments where I could have expressed something to my mother, to my grandmother on my dad's side who's passed away. I wish I would have written them more, called them more, talked to them more, expressed my love more. Some of you in here, you've lost your mother. My heart breaks for you today, and we hold our arms around you as a group of believers just to say that we understand this is a day where many are celebrating and you're in pain. But let me just tell you about the unconditional love of Jesus. The fact is that he can give you a love that's even greater than your mother's love when she was alive. He can be the one to fill that void, to wrap his arms around you, as the word peace means, to bring a power that is greater than yourself. And so how should we respond to this love? We should understand that divine love is never superficial. It's never fake. It's never forced. It's always sacrificial, and it's impossible to show the love of Christ until you know the love of Christ. And so we must understand that this love is far beyond our comprehension, but we've been given something, as we talked about at the very beginning. We've been given something to understand God's love, and it's a mother's love. And I combed through lots of different stories of mother's loves and I could not find any that were greater than Mrs. Rosenberg back in 1940. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife were gathered by the Nazis and taken to the city that was going to be eventually made into a work camp. They were placed as families in these homes, but the city was surrounded by Nazi forces and a fence was put in place, and they were forced to work every day. Every day they would go work for 18, 20 hours, and then they would come home, and every day Solomon would gather his family up, and they would weep, and they would cry, and they would say the Shema together, and they would be so thankful for another day that they were alive. And the story goes about how they were praying for their youngest son, David, because he was weaker than Joshua, and Joshua was growing, he was getting stronger, he was an asset, and if you got too weak, the Nazis, of course, would lead you to the gas chamber. And so as they walked home that day, his father started to pick up the pace, and he ran in to make sure that everyone was there, and it was just Joshua in a corner crying. And he said, they've taken David, our worst fear, they took David. He said, well, where's your mother? Joshua looked right at his dad and through tears said, David was so scared, he didn't want to be alone, that mom walked with him right into that chamber and right into eternity. Now listen, I can't ever fathom a mother's love, but that is a mother's love. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life. Truly, the sacrificial love of a mother cannot be overstated. But how should we respond to this type of love, this unfathomable love? Well, number one, the sacrificial love, it must be owned. It must be owned. It's offered, 1 John, it's toward us. It's promised. At Jesus' baby dedication, Simeon promised a spear would go through the soul of his mother, Mary. He said, one day you're going to be in much pain because of what Jesus is going to do. But Mary owned it. She owned this love. She understood it. And the last words that Jesus uttered to anyone on earth was to his mother. He said, behold thy son, John. And then to John, behold thy mother. And John owned it. John owned this love. He made it his own. It was provided for him. And let me just tell you, it was provided for you as well. Calvary was for you. That sacrificial love, Jesus came and died. Mary was completely torn in her spirit. Why? So that you could have the sacrificial greater love of Jesus. There's nothing we can do to lose it or to gain it. We must just receive it. And so Jesus offers this love. To anyone whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, God will be in you. God is in you when you receive his Son's love, and so it must be owned. Not earned, but owned. Received. If you've never received the love of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, I would encourage you to do that today. And then finally, and we're finished, sacrificial love must be shown. It must be shown. See, when I love you and you choose not to love me, I hurt because I have lost something. But here's how God's love works. When God loves you and you choose not to love him, he hurts because you have lost something. He's offering his love. He's trying to show his love to you. And when you don't receive it, you've lost the capacity to love in a greater way. And so here's the takeaway today, and that is, we must begin to love from the endless supply of divine love. We must give up on trying to love and forgive and help others on our own. We must love the way Jesus loves. See, his love is enough. And when we come to moments where we're not enough, we can come to him knowing that he is, that his love is enough for every situation. His love is enough for you today if you're hurting. His love is enough for you today if you need to receive his gift. His love is enough for you today if you're in an impossible, stuck situation. Mothers, his love is enough for you to continue to love and to be the way that God has made you. His love is enough. Before I close in prayer, I'd like just to tell you about a man who was drafted for World War II and put on a ship, one of these destroyers that were on their way to the Pacific. And he was on the ship for a few days when they got the news on their way to the Philippines that the Philippines had been taken over by the Japanese, and the port that they were going to be docking at was no longer available. And so they quickly made a turn and they went to the Sydney Harbor. The Sydney Harbor was busy at that time because many ships, many warships, many passenger ships were trying to get people out of harm's way. And so this sailor, 18 years old, lands in this busy Sydney Harbor. And the ship was docked and they walked ashore. And this man met, as he described, a girl named Mary, the most beautiful girl he had ever seen. And as they talked and spent those few short days together before he boarded that ship again to go fight for his country, for our country, he realized that he really, really wanted to marry this girl. In fact, just 18 months later, he did. They lived happily married for 52 years. They had two boys. It was a wonderful, wonderful marriage, wonderful life. settled in Colorado and had a wonderful life together. Every day Mary would say to him how much she loved him. He loved her too, but he wasn't an emotional type and he just didn't know how to express it. And so he would just say two words, me too, me too. She would say, I love you, and he would just say, me too, me too. Finally, something happened with Mary's health and it started to go south and she was in the hospital and then they induced her into a coma and they brought him in and brought his sons in and said, hey, we've done everything we can, but you need to say your goodbyes. And so one by one they went in. And this man walked in, burly, big guy, former sailor. And his heart was just crushed. He didn't know what to say, but he just looked at her and he said, Mary, I didn't tell you enough that I loved you. But words truly are not enough for me to express my love for you. And just with that, he turned around and he started to walk out. And as this is, I looked it up, this is an exact true story. Right as he was walking out the door, she sat up and she said, me too. And then she went into eternity. And I just, as I read that story, I just thought, you know what? When life comes to an end, and when all of the other little peripheral things, the American dream and all of the things that we so passionately live our lives, when they're all stripped aside and we have a view of greater love, it really prioritizes some things. And I just want to practically say today, there's some people who need to write some letters expressing how much they love someone, maybe even someone that's in this room. There's some people who need to make a phone call today and say, I haven't told you enough how much I love you. Because it's going to break your heart if it's when they're in a coma. When it's too late, it's going to be a lot harder. So may we come to the greater love of Jesus and understand that it's not about us. It's about him through us. So is God in you? Is God in you? Have you received this love? Is it a part of you? Have you asked him to save you? Will you live out his love? Will you willingly love beyond your limits but in his? And then will you look for someone who needs this love and to begin to live out of his capacity and not your own?
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.